Are you ever overwhelmed by life's events? The illness of a loved one? The unexplained rejection in a relationship? The never-ending tasks of work, house, or family? Or perhaps by the big problems in society? Issues around Brexit, global warming, or mass immigration? We feel that we can't do anything. We are paralysed by so many issues that seemingly have no resolution or way in which we can help. Well, today's passage shows us how God lovingly works through ordinary people to transform the lives of others. And I hope that it will be an encouragement to all of us that our lives count and that our actions may touch others. You may have heard the old story of a man who was in a rising flood, had climbed onto his roof, and he prayed to God that he would rescue him. First, a raft went past and invited him on board. But he said, "No, I am waiting for God's rescue." Then a bigger boat went past and urged him to get on board before the water reached him. They got the same response. Finally, a helicopter flew over low and a rope was dangled down with a man on it. "Grab onto me and we will pull you out." "No," he said, "God will save me." The helicopter spun away and the man eventually drowned. When he got to the pearly gates, he met with God. "Why didn't you rescue me as I prayed?" God replied, "Well, I sent you a raft, a boat, and even a helicopter, but you ignored them all." Now, there's several things I like about this invented story, and one is that God uses ordinary people to help and save others. Sometimes he could do a miracle or send an angel. More often, he uses a doctor or sends a friend. Bear this in mind as we look at Ruth chapter 2. Please, if you haven't already, open your Bibles. And just to recap our story, we've seen it again on the screen. The family had left from Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread, bread provided by God, to look for food in a pagan country, but has been reduced to just two widows. But there's hope. They returned to Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. As you can see in your service sheets, the passage seems to fall into three parts, each focusing on one of the characters in our story. The first three verses have Ruth as the protagonist, but verse 1 introduces the first man in this book who actually talks and doesn't die. Boaz is a relative from the clan of Naomi's dead husband, Elimelech. Ruth, verse 2 reminds us that Ruth is a Moabitess. I can never pronounce that correctly. A Moabitess from a despised foreign nation. Having arrived in Israel, an unknown nation, she could have been overwhelmed by the situation and not knowing anyone waited for Naomi to make the moves. But faith isn't passive. It needs to get on the raft or cling to the helicopter rescuer. Ruth has a get up and go attitude and asks Naomi if she can go to work in the harvest fields. With Naomi's blessing, she goes out, and as it turned out, verse 3, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, which the text mentions again was from the clan of Elimelech. The writer doesn't explicitly tell us that God is at work. It looks as though Ruth is just extremely fortunate to choose the right field to glean in. But there are many hints in the book of Ruth which show us that God is weaving events together to bless the characters and put in place his long-term salvation plan. Has that ever happened to you? that whilst you were in a difficult situation, you couldn't see God's hand at work. But when you look back, the coincidences seem too many, and you discern God's activity guiding you providentially. I know that I have. One writer says that the providences of God are like Hebrew words. They can only be read properly backwards. And verse 4 gives another hint. Just then, Boaz arrives. And verses 4 to 16 show the character of a generous, rich man, Boaz. As we mentioned last week, we sometimes lack good role models in public life, especially male ones. One influential man, a leading politician, called another politician in his own political party a revolting character. Another, a classic third-rate, suck-up, kick-down sycophant. And a third, as thick as mints, lazy as a toad, and vain as Narcissus. And I won't even repeat what those people thought of him in return. But with Boaz, we see a totally different type of man, one who reflects God's character. Firstly, we see that he leads a God-centered life. The first verses we hear him say are, "The Lord be with you." His workers obviously weren't Anglican, because instead of replying, "And his spirit with you," they said, "The Lord bless you." But he is obviously preoccupied by others, asking in verse 5, "Whose young woman is that?" In that patriarchal society, if a woman didn't have a man's protection, she was vulnerable to abuse. His foreman replies, "She is a Moabitess who came from Moab with Naomi." And Ruth, we remember, was not only a widow, but also poor and an immigrant. And the despised nation of Moab is mentioned twice by the foreman. So she is triply vulnerable. So after Ruth asked for permission to carry on gleaning grain, Boaz instructs her to stay with his servant girls and orders his men not to touch her. Verses 8 to 10. In second place, we see that law and love come together in Boaz. When I first read the Bible the whole way through, one of the things that impressed me was God's special love and regard for the marginalized, the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. And as we've seen, Ruth falls into three of these four categories. God provides special provision for them, often written into what would become known as the Mosaic Law. Listen to these verses from Deuteronomy 10. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome, who shows no favoritism and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens," in other words, foreigners, "for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt." And look what it says in chapter 24 of Deuteronomy, verse 19. "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." God provides for the weak in society and blesses them that do the same. If Boaz had been an unscrupulous Western fat cat capitalist and harvested right to the edge of the field for maximum profit, Ruth would have found no help in his fields. There's a lot to reflect on here as principles for the way we conduct our businesses. But Boaz showed God's love by obeying God's law. Many people today see God's law as something that can be, or perhaps even should be, ignored. We often think of rules and regulations as being the opposite of love and freedom. They are there to spoil our fun. But all good things come from God. Food, sex, family, wine, etc. When we distort the use of these gifts and try to enjoy them outside the parameters that God has designed for them, we run into all kinds of problems. Obesity, sexual diseases, emotional scarring, family breakdown, and alcoholism, just to mention a few. God's parameters are like those a loving family or parent puts around their children, as no doubt Catherine and Rob do. Sockets aren't for putting fingers into. Matches aren't for children to play with. And knives aren't to be stuck into pets. Electricity, fire, and knives all serve good purposes if they are used correctly. And Boaz is a godly man who honours God's law and so cares for and blesses others. And in verse 15, he gives more instructions to his workers to help Ruth. So Boaz lives a God-centred life, shows love through living out the law, and thirdly, he is an example of God's covenant love. In verse 12, Boaz prays, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done." That's Ruth's care for Naomi. "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz recognized what we saw last week, that Ruth had had a conversion experience. "Your people will be my people, and your God, my God," she said. Coming under the wings of God and taking refuge in him is a way of saying that God has joined the people of God. She had become part of their covenant community. The word used is hesed, which the King James Bible translates as loving kindness. Loving kindness. It refers to a love, a loyalty that is tied up in a covenant, in a commitment. It describes loyalty to the obligations of a covenant or agreement, and the generous spirit that is willing to go beyond those obligations. This is the kindness that Naomi praises God for in verse 20. For Boaz doesn't just follow the law in a mean, legalistic, Pharisaical way. No, he goes beyond it. Boaz doesn't just let Ruth have crumbs off his table. Verse 14 invites her to eat with him. Don't you just see in Boaz the established older man with a good position among his peers, sitting down and eating with the outcast Mervites, a shadow of Jesus sitting down and eating with sinners and outcasts? Ruth eventually collects so much food that someone says it would provide for her and Naomi for up to 3 weeks. And the 2 months' work until the end of the harvest would give them provision for the next 8 months. We see God provide for two widows with overwhelming generosity. In musical terms, this hesed, this covenantal commitment, is a central theme of the Old Testament and forms the melody line to the book of Ruth. Another way of saying, explaining hesed, it talks about God's deep goodness, his absolute loyalty, his obliging of himself to bring to fruition the blessings that he has promised, whatever it may cost him personally to do that. Boaz shows that to Ruth. His loving kindness cut into his profit, his time, and his convenience. How does Ruth respond? Well, we saw last week that Ruth was risking her security and well-being to show loyalty and accompany her mother-in-law away from her country to Israel. But she was taking refuge under God's wings, as a chick does under the wings of a mother hen. She appears to risk it all, but wisely chose the most secure place of all. Verse 10, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? What a humble, submissive response. It shows Ruth's character. She is a get-up-and-goer, but asks for her mother-in-law's advice. She is a hard worker who labours all day under the sun to seek food, but doesn't presume to receive favour. How do we respond to the favour of another? Oh, I couldn't take your charity. Or to the favour, the hesed of God? No, I couldn't accept the free gift of Jesus' death, the ultimate example of covenantal love. I will find the path elsewhere. No, I won't take the outstretched arm of Jesus to pull me out of the waters of rebellion and sin and be given refuge under the wings of a loving father. But Ruth acknowledges her unworthiness. She's a foreigner. Do we acknowledge our unworthiness to receive God's blessings? We who have lived in continual rebellion to God's law and love? Or do we say, as Frank Sinatra did, old Blue Eyes himself, I did it my way? Apparently that's the most popular and probably the most inappropriate song choice for funerals today. Do you respond to God's loving kindness in humility and acceptance? And if you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus as his disciple, do come and talk to me or Sam afterwards, or sign up for the Christianity Explored course. Now, moving to the last verses. Do you see here the change between Naomi at the end of chapter 1 and the end of this chapter? The Old Testament professor Ian Dugwid says of the bitter Naomi at the end of chapter 1, Naomi has misunderstood God and misjudged Ruth. She had failed to see that the Lord is the God who welcomes the outsider. She had forgotten that he is a shepherd who does not stop showing his covenant faithfulness to his wandering sheep. She didn't remember that he is the father who waits with open arms to welcome back the prodigal daughter. But now, end of chapter 2, she is grateful to God. Look at verse 19. Blessed is the man who took notice of you. Verse 20. The Lord bless him. And perhaps adds coyly, that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Setting up a possible romantic finish to the story. Naomi has returned from her self-imposed exile and is seeing God's blessing back in the promised land. And what of us? The pastor Tim Chester says, God is kind to Ruth and Naomi through the kindness and obedience of his people. We are to show the same kindness towards others, especially the vulnerable. This creates an attractive community of kindness. God is revealed as a God who liberates and protects, and people of all nations come to him for refuge. Sometimes people say, the church didn't help me in my time of need. And they normally mean the vicar, the staff, the church wardens. But someone from the church, the Christian community, visited them. Someone prayed for them. Someone helped them in a practical way. The church did help. These acts often go unnoticed. The reason that we always have such a nice, clean and orderly church is because every week If I pop in at 9 o'clock in the morning on Fridays, there's a group of lovely ladies who come here and work hard at cleaning St. Michael's. Acts of kindness that bless us all. One practical application from this passage is to help refugees and foreigners. Whatever we think about current immigration policies, and I think a sovereign country is entitled to set its own parameters, a Christian response calls for helping genuine refugees. Our Bishop of Barking, Bishop Peter, has been fomenting this in our area by helping resettle Syrian refugees. And the former Director for Reconciliation Ministries, the Rwandan Baptist Celestine Musikura, says, "The church must work towards including foreigners in the social and economic structures of the community." God uses us as individuals to show his loving kindness to others as Boaz did to Ruth. How will he use us? To help perhaps with the Romford Food Bank, the Diocesan Refugee Resettlement Programme, reaching out to others outside our community with Hesed love. Those who live after Jesus' life, death and resurrection know of the rich history of God's long-suffering patience with his rebellious children. We know that the Father stands with his open arms and open heart, scanning the horizon for the returning prodigal, eager to welcome her home. It is this God, full of loving kindness, that Rob and Catherine have promised to model to Sophie Pearl and Louis John and bring them up to know. It is this God of Hesed that we continually need to go to in times of trouble, to take refuge under his wings. It is of this covenant God of overwhelming generosity that the Apostle Paul said will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It is this Lord who enables us, ordinary people, to serve by helping others with deeds of kindness. What a privilege, what an honour. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit so that we could live like Boaz did, to honour you, to love you, to obey your law and to serve others. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who came down to earth to rescue us, to forgive our sins, to transform our lives so that we in turn may transform that of others. Open our eyes, Lord, to see where there is need and give us hands and feet that are willing to love and serve others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.